As I said earlier, this is usually our missions weekend. In light of that, we are delighted to have missionaries Doug and Barb Miller bring us a special presentation this morning. They've been serving in Malawi since the year 2000, and despite many challenges, the Lord has opened doors and hearts, leading to evangelistic and discipleship groups in about 20 villages in Malawi. They were commissioned from right here at Fairview Avenue Church, and they are very much a part of us, even when they're in Malawi. It was a great pleasure to have fellowship with them on Wednesday night as we had our prayer and fellowship time on Zoom, and it's always great to see their faces. Though they can't be with us here today in person, we want to extend a very warm Fairview Avenue Church welcome to Doug and Barb Miller.
Thank you for allowing us to be with you in this way since we cannot be with you in person. We're honored to share our story and report on God's work among the Yao of Malawi. Thank you for your prayers and support. We regret that we cannot share with you personally. There's something about having eye contact that conveys the sense of being there for each other. But know that the Lord sees you and knows your situation perfectly and will help you in your time of need. Though we are not with you, you will see a video of where we work, and you'll be encouraged by Jesus' words that he calls you friends and has chosen you. Can you believe that we've been in Malawi 20 years?
Yes, it's been 20 years. There we were, Sharon, me, Sarah, Doug, Susanna, Stephen, and Seth, the day we arrived with our teammate Grable Marlin in Malawi on April Fool's Day 2000. But as martyred missionary Jim Elliott said, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. We thank the Lord for all that he has done during our part of the journey.
Now we are back in the U.S. for home ministry, and after 2 weeks of quarantine with my sister, we moved to the missionary house in Grantham, PA. Where did the journey begin?
I grew up as a PK, a preacher's kid, and prayed with my mom after a revival meeting to accept Jesus as my Savior. But I didn't totally dedicate my life to Christ until I was in high school and also understood that he wanted to be my Lord.
I also grew up as a PK, but in my case, I was a pagan kid. And though we had mainline church affiliation, I didn't come to know Jesus personally until my first year of college. As a child, growing up in a family of high achievers, I questioned my identity and tried to find acceptance in some honorable ways, like academics, sports, music, Boy Scouts, and church, but also in some shameful ways, and realized that I could not only not keep promises I made to my parents, I couldn't keep promises I made to myself. Like it says in Romans 7, the good I want to do, I can't, and what I do, I hate. But after unexpectedly having the opportunity to read the Bible, God began to reveal himself to me, not only that he is, and he's holy, and I'm sinful, but that he is also merciful, loving, and personal. After a time in my life of partying, experimenting with Eastern religion, while also attending church, God helped me to take the step of trusting in Jesus, his death and resurrection, for forgiveness and a relationship with him. So, how did we become interested in missions?
Talk about missions was common growing up in the Mennonite church, and both of my brothers volunteered for service abroad. The Lord used the meaning of my name, Barbara, which is pilgrim, foreigner, or stranger, to nudge me to explore the possibility of mission service at a time when it felt like my roots as a teacher were going too deep. A friend who had served in Honduras encouraged me to contact our church's mission board.
For me, it was a verse that jumped off the page at me during my daily Bible reading. It's always been my ambition to preach the gospel where Christ is not known. This was the beginning of a call to reach the unreached, although I didn't fully understand it at the time. That led me to changing my major in college, learning language and studying rural development in Guatemala, and eventually attending a Bible college to train to be a missionary. From there, God called me to serve with the Kekchi Mennonite Church in leadership training in Guatemala, which is where I met Barb, who was teaching missionary children. Now, fast forward, why did we go to Malawi?
Doug was reminded of his call to frontier missions at the Missions Perspectives class, which highlights the need for missionaries to work among the unreached, those with little or no exposure to the good news of the saving work of Jesus.
It was at a missions conference right here at Fairview Avenue in 1997 where we as a family took our first step, making a commitment to explore frontier missions. I pray that today, one or more of you will take a step to being a missionary. We pray that the Lord would send missionaries to join us in Malawi.
After a couple of years of praying, sometimes wrestling in prayer, God used key leaders like our missions directors and Pastor John Fickett to confirm that God was calling us to share the good news of Jesus among the Yao people of Malawi. The Lord really spoke to me through our pastor's sermon based on the verse, "Anyone who loves his father or mother more than me is not worthy of me."
We serve under BIC US World Missions in association with the BIC Church of Malawi. There are about 2 million Yao in Malawi, a country of about 18.5 million. We live in the town of Mongochi, just south of beautiful Lake Malawi, and commute to local and remote rural Yao tribal villages. Other BIC missionaries are in the city of Blantyre, about 3 hours south of us, and work in leadership training with the National BIC Church, which is predominantly Chewa by tribe.
The foundation of what we do is prayer, praying God's love, care, and blessing on all those we meet. We go to village groups where we're invited to teach the Word of God chronologically, from creation to Christ, so people can know God. The chronological approach is so effective in contrasting God's sure way of salvation with man's futile ways to try to find purpose in life and eternal hope. We've prepared over 200 lessons in the Yao language and are now working on a whole new set of lessons for maturing believers.
We even have a radio theater program based on our lessons called Litala Leakulupuchila, The Way of Salvation, which we broadcast on Radio Lilanguka, the new Christian Yao community radio station.
We praise God that we have multiplied to 22 village groups, most of which started through already existing groups. Currently, 11 are seekers groups, not yet believers, and 11 are believers groups. We have 7 apprentice leaders and about 50 believers who have been baptized.
One man by the name of Billy came to faith through a series of challenges. He is a member of a very remote village group. Even before we reached the story of Jesus, Billy told us that he was ready to repent and believe and join others in praying that God would provide a well for their village. The very next day, after asking God for a well, we unexpectedly met a representative of a foundation of the president of Malawi, which eventually drilled a well in their village. Although Billy was confronted by traditional religious leaders and questioned by friends and family, he said, "It's okay, because God loves me."
He is now our youngest apprentice leader and joined us in conducting chronological teaching seminars with pastors of the Malawi BIC Chewa Church.
And one day when we were teaching a lesson in Billy's Bible study group from the book of Acts about sharing Jesus with others and the power of the Holy Spirit, we had an unexpected visitor, someone that Billy was already teaching the Word of God.
He and other believers from his village were recently baptized. Here's a video of the baptisms and interviews with Doug, our co-worker Monalizo, and Billy.
Thank you. Well, according to the Bible, Matthew 28:18-20, God has called all people, churches in America, churches around the world, to go into the whole world and to share the good news of Jesus Christ. So it is a matter of obedience, not just for the 12 apostles, but for everyone who claims the name of Christ, to go and make disciples who make disciples who make disciples.
Myself, I'm coming from that kind of background. I'm a Yao by tribe. Everybody at home, they are Yao. But when God set me free, when God saved me, this is what God gave on my heart, to reach my fellow Yao community. You know, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verses 8, when it tells about when you receive this power, you'll be my witness, right? To the Jerusalem, Judea, Samaritan, and to the whole end of the world. That means your community, they're like my Jerusalem.
The good news of Jesus' death and resurrection gives our Yao friends who believe assurance of forgiveness and true peace.
The Yao community, mainly most of them, they do fear evil spirits. But through the time that I've been here, ministering unto their lives, when people that have come to know Jesus and get saved from Him, they are free from evil forces. But they have come to realize that the evil forces, they can't do anything to their lives, but God is most powerful. So that's why they are having that free in their mind to say, wow, Jesus have set us free, even from this kind of darkness.
They're free from the fear of death and rejection from family and friends, because the Word of God says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. They find power to overcome old sinful patterns such as lying, selfish living, through the gospel. They find purpose for life and boldness to share the love of Christ with others. You can pray like the early church did in Acts 4:29-30. Lord, enable your servants to speak your word with great boldness. Stretch out your hand to heal and perform miraculous signs and wonders through the name of your holy servant, Jesus.
How have we endured the challenges and missing family?
A big part is knowing our calling, being sure that we are where God wants us to be, which helps us to know it's not us, but it's God who gives us strength. By His grace, even after my paralyzing accident, falling 18 feet while riding bike over a rickety bridge, we never considered coming home.
The Bible says that we are not alone. We are members of the body of Christ, one body and many members, so it's a team effort, each one following the Lord in their gifts and calling.
So we thank God for the support of others. First, the privilege to serve under BIC US World Missions, and to be two of 77 current workers in 24 countries.
To be in partnership with BIC Canada and the Malawi BIC Church.
And to have your support as our home church and sending congregation, not only financial and prayer support, which is huge, but also practical, sending out our newsletters and helping with compassion projects such as village water pipes. And more recently, providing for the purchase of a motorbike for our co-worker, Marlizzo.
We're also supported amazingly by our family, our Yao missionary community,
our BIC teammates, Jonathan and Becky Owen, at Evangelical Bible College of Malawi in Blantyre, and Orville and Cheryl Hayde, training leaders in Mozambique.
We are especially blessed to have Yao BIC Bible College graduate Marlizzo Caputa and his wife Ethel to serve with us as co-workers. Marlizzo's life slogan is, "I will live and die for missions." They are so humble, teachable, and faithful.
And we're very grateful for how God called and brought to us new teammates, Estelle and Kristen Bathurst, and their five children last year from Kansas.
They are currently studying Yao language and culture and learning about the chronological teaching method and the Farming God's Way program.
If you would also like to team up with us and are not already a prayer partner or on our Miller's Memo mailing list, please contact the church office.
Please pray with us for the safe birth of Malitzu and Ethel's second child in July. Pray for perseverance and wisdom for the Bathursts as they continue to learn language. Pray for God's help in developing new lessons and multiplying groups and leaders.
What about you?
It might be difficult for you to accept the advice of a missionary because you find it hard to relate and think, "I could never be a missionary." I fully understand because I thought the same. But if you're open to all that God has for you, you would be amazed what He will do, despite the challenges and problems. My advice is, first, if you're not sure of your relationship with God, confess your need and with childlike faith, believe in Jesus, that He died for you and rose again to give you eternal life. Second, in view of His love, totally dedicate yourself to following Him. He said that he who finds his life will lose it, but he who loses his life for my sake will find it. Be filled with the Spirit, pray in the Spirit, then just ask God and listen. Ask Him about your gifts, passions, and life purpose. Make the most of every opportunity. Learn from your parents, teachers, coaches. Take advantage of opportunities to serve in the church or community. Study abroad or take a short-term missions trip to learn to respect other cultures and to learn language. Take a step and keep taking steps with the support of others because it's a journey. Third, cultivate your relationship with Jesus, who in some of his last words before his crucifixion told his followers,
"I am the true vine and my Father is the gardener. Remain in me and I will remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. If a man remains in me and I in him, he will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, Ask whatever you wish, and it will be given you. This is to my Father's glory that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Greater love has no one than this, that he lay down his life for his friends. I no longer call you servants, because a servant does not know his master's business. You're my friends. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last. Then the Father will give you whatever you ask in my name. This is my command, love each other.
One key principle of having a fruitful life is to continually grow in your relationship with Jesus and let him work through you by his word, because it's the word of God that does the work. My prayer for you is that God will help you to listen and obey. Invest your life in what you've been called to do. Take the risk. Do the thing that you know you've always needed to do to be who God has truly made you to be. Whatever that thing is, he has given you all that you need to do it. If you are faithful in little, he will entrust you to be faithful in much. You can take the risk. You have what it takes. But do it with all your heart. God will renew your strength and fill you with joy. Don't stall out. Don't be afraid. Don't step back. Step in. Invest what's been given to you, and it will flow out of you in unconscious ways, not in a self-righteous way, but naturally as you let his life flow freely through you. Remain in me, Jesus said. Be at rest, settled, secure. Continue to endure and be available for his promptings and divine appointments. Jesus, who calls you, is faithful, and he will do it. Amen.
Amen.
I want to say thanks to Doug and Barb for their faithful service in Malawi on our behalf, and for that presentation. Thank you. I want to pray as we close this morning. Let's pray for their ministry. Lord, we thank you for the amazing work that you are doing through the Millers. Thank you that they are able to get some rest while they're home here on furlough. And we pray that they'll still have lots of time to see their family face to face before they return to Malawi in the fall. We pray for safety in their travels and great fruit in their ministry. We also pray for the safe birth of Madalitso and Ethel's second child. And we pray for the Bathursts as they learn for new language skills and as they adjust to their roles as part of the team. We thank you for each part and each person. We pray your blessing over each of them. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. And may God bless you.